listening to Retirement Today with Jenna Carnes. Planning for retirement comes with its own set of challenges, from navigating market ups and downs to protecting your purchasing power and creating a strategy that fits your vision for the future. On this show, we'll break down key financial topics, offer practical advice, and explore strategies to help you retire with confidence. Now let's jump into Retirement Today.
Hello and welcome to Retirement Today. My name is Jenna Carnes, owner and financial advisor from Beacon Wealth Advisory. And we're here to help you get to and through retirement with financial peace. If you'd like to listen to this show or any of our past shows, you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and Amazon Music. Well, today we're diving into the new big, beautiful tax bill. I think everyone's wanting to know, how is this going to affect my retirement plan? Is it going to help? Is it not going to help? We are going to cover that. There's a lot of buzz in the news. What's fact? What's fiction? You will want to stay tuned. It's jam-packed with great information. But before we get into that, Jacqueline, I want to bring you in. Welcome. We are just having so much fun doing this show together. How are you?
I am great. You know, I think just from the weather to the sun, and I am a little bit burnt. So Larry the Lobster from SpongeBob is coming out. But it's been good. I mean, my hair is getting blonder, and I have a wedding this upcoming weekend to attend, and
nice.
Volleyball tournament coming up. So it'll be good. And you know, you have a birthday coming up this weekend. So what do you have planned, Jenna?
Yes, I'm so excited. It's going to be fun. I am spending Sunday, my birthday, on a boat, taking in the sunshine, having some good food, just relaxing with my family, being on the water. I love the water, remember?
Yes.
So
yes.
It'll be fun. I'm and looking forward to it.
Are you just going to relax? Are you going to go tubing or skiing?
No. Okay. No, we're not doing the tubing or skiing. We have done that in the past. We're going to relax. We'll do some fishing, too. I do like to fish a little bit, and my husband loves to fish. So just really going to relax, listen to some good music, spend time with the fam. So really, it's going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Jenna, that honestly sounds like a blast. That sounds like a dream date for you and for me, too. But, you know, it's all about you here.
So,
Jenna, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm truly excited. Speaking of the hot weather, and, you know, this is a hot topic that we are discussing today.
Yes.
And we're talking about the beautiful big tax bill, or people are saying BBB, beautiful big bill. So Jenna, let's dive in. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, well, first I just want to say I was surprised. I thought the big beautiful tax bill was like a nickname or something, or like a marketing tactic on the news to get everybody excited. But that is the name of the actual bill that got passed, the big beautiful tax bill. Interesting name, don't you think?
Absolutely. And there's so much to unpack here, too. I mean,
yes.
I'm just as confused as probably many of the listeners. So with your knowledge, I'm sure you can explain it in further depth for us.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about what will really affect your retirement plan and decipher what's really beautiful about it. And so you can see with the slide there, we'll talk about the income tax brackets, the new bonus senior tax deduction, the SALT deduction, the gift and estate tax exclusion, and some other miscellaneous updates. But you will want to stay tuned, because there's a lot in here that will affect you financially.
Yes. Well, let's dive into the first part of the bill, right, Jenna?
Yes, I would say this is the most beautiful part of the bill. You really, if you think about it, nobody really enjoys paying taxes. I know we need to pay taxes, obviously, to keep our country going. But you might remember that the standard deduction in 2017 was $6,500, and they moved it to $12,000 for individual filers, and from $13,000 for joint returns. That law also eliminated or decreased many items available for standard deductions. So these two changes led to fewer people itemizing their deductions. that higher standard deduction is staying. This is pretty cool. It's indexed for inflation. So now it's $15,750 for single filers and $31,500 for joint filers. And that would be, you know, in 2025 when you pay your taxes in 2026. There isn't any change to the current senior deduction of single $1,600 or joint, but what's really neat is there is a new $6,000 tax deduction that really you can add on to the standard deduction for the next 4 years, but it does phase out for the higher income earners. So as long as you're under $75,000 as a single filer or $150,000 for joint, if you file a joint return, you would be eligible for this senior extra deduction. That's a really big deal, especially for our retired people that are listening today, you know, paying less in taxes with all those deductions, right? Which is more income. So yes. That is huge, right?
Yes. I mean, people are going to love that their taxes will either be lower or at least staying the same. And, right. You know, we're going to greatly appreciate the higher standard deduction and the seniors, especially who are, yes, like you said, are talking about retirement soon. I mean, yes, this is huge for them. This is going to be a, you know, big deal for their future in the fixed income life.
Yes, it is. And I will say the news is has marketed on some shows. I was listening the other day and they've been saying, oh, you know, nobody has to pay Social Security tax anymore. Well, that is not true. But this $6,000 senior deduction will really, really help reduce the taxation overall on all taxes for the seniors. But, you know, really, there was never an official like not having to pay Social Security tax like the news has often marketed. So,
yes. And then, what about the SALT deduction?
Yeah, the state and local exemptions. So the state and local tax exemption, referred to as SALT, S-A-L-T, allows people to deduct these taxes from their federal income taxes. And when the 2017 law imposed a $10,000 cap on how much could be deducted, it was a really big deal to higher income people in states like California, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Illinois. The new law now increases the cap to $40,000, although it does phase out at the higher income levels. So if you make more than $250,000 single or $500,000 joint, it wouldn't apply to you. But that $10,000 cap is reinstated not until 2030. So that $40,000 is a big deal, don't you think, Jacqueline?
Yeah. I mean, wow. It sounds like people are really going to appreciate that $10,000, you know, dollar cap lifted. And for most people, the $40,000 cap, you know, will definitely help. And there's a lot of numbers that we're talking about here too. So hopefully this doesn't get confusing and the listeners can kind of follow along, especially if you're on YouTube watching this. We got a nice slideshow going. So Jenna, yeah, what's the next topic?
Well, the next big change was the estate and lifetime tax exclusion. So the gift and estate tax exclusion is the amount that you can gift during your lifetime without any tax implications. And you can see from the chart that the rates doubled in 2017 and they were scheduled to revert to pre-2017 levels at the end of 2025. But like the income tax brackets and rate changes, the changes are now permanent. So the lifetime gift and estate exclusion will increase to $15 million for single filers and $30 million for joint filers in 2026. And people that are blessed enough to have that much to give to their family, when the amount increases, you can actually gift the new amount. So for example, in 2025, the amount for a single filer is $13.9 million. So if you gift that amount, you can really gift approximately $1 million more in additional funds. So for people that are looking to leave a big legacy, maybe they have a business or family money that they've inherited over the years, more will be excluded from the estate tax. So that will be very helpful for them.
Yeah, I mean, this will certainly help the people that have accumulated a large legacy to leave their families. So,
yeah.
I mean, what about those child savings accounts that I keep hearing so much about on the news?
Yeah, I mean, they're not a game changer, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, the government is basically putting in $1,000 into a savings account for a child, as long as they were born prior to January 1st, 2025. It's kind of like the seed money. And there's a lot of different rules that we're still deciphering through, but some of them are parents, family members, or other taxable entities can contribute. It automatically converts to a traditional IRA when the child turns 18. The funds are untouchable until the child turns 18. This is interesting. Employers could offer it as like a benefit where they can contribute up to $2,500, which is an annual limit. And if they do, it doesn't count as income for you or your child. There's no earned income requirements like IRAs, so you can make however much you want and still be eligible for it. This is the part that I'm not in love with. The proceeds must be invested in a low-cost index fund like the S&P 500. So it's really like the government's somewhat controlling how you can invest the money. Okay. Account holders can take partial withdrawals out when they turn 18 and access the full amount at age 25, but only for qualified purposes like paying for college or buying a first home or starting a business. If withdrawn for qualified purposes, then it is taxed at capital gains tax rates of 15 to 20%, which is typically lower than income tax rates. And then once the child is 30, they can really use it for any purpose that they want. So that's interesting. I mean, you know, if you don't mind the government controlling how you invest it, it is an option now to maybe compare that to a 529 plan or something.
Yeah. I mean, with you having three kids of your own, this has got to add some change in there for sure. And Jenna, so it sounds like there's some great options for parents or grandparents that want to help their kids save for college. Mm-hmm. So it would be good for people to analyze if this child savings account or a 529 plan would be better now. I mean, don't you think, Jenna?
Oh, yeah. And we have a lot of ideas. There's other strategies out there as well to help save for your kids or college. So if any of you listening want some ideas around that, you can certainly give us a call at 1-800-994-8993 for a consultation. And we'd be happy to go through that with you.
Yeah. And so now we're going to kind of get into the miscellaneous parts of this big, giant bill. I mean, over 900 pages we're talking about.
I know.
What are we going to cover first here?
Well, the first miscellaneous point I want to make, and you can see it on the slide, and I mentioned it earlier, is that, you know, the news many times is marketing it as an elimination to Social Security tax. And that did not happen. Lawmakers really on both sides, they couldn't really come to an agreement to completely get rid of Social Security tax. But just making sure that the seniors have that $6,000 extra deduction. They felt like that was something they could agree on. So it will help, but it's not true. It's not when you listen to that on the news, that's not really fact. So that's one point that I want to make. A really neat thing is tips. You can deduct up to $25,000 for tips, which is a great thing for, you know, you think about, Jacqueline, all those waiters and waitresses out there that, you know, live off of tips. They don't have to, you know, pay taxes on it up to $25,000. Now, that's not going to really help them with like their monthly income, but it could mean that once a year when they're doing their taxes, they might get more of a refund or something like that. So I think that that's good. And then of course, car loans. So anybody that buys a U.S. car, can deduct up to $10,000 to single payers. So that's definitely, something that's interesting. They would have only apply for a loan, between 2025 and 2028. So it looks like you could potentially have more than one deduction on the interest for multiple cars, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I do think, you know, having it for anybody buying a car would be nice and not just for people that are taking out a loan to buy it, but that's just my own personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, and before we continue here, I mean, you brought up the overtime, or you brought up tips, but yeah. I want to bring up overtime as well.
Yes.
You know, my boyfriend is blue collar and he's person, and so when it comes to overtime, this is a big deal for some of those blue collar workers.
Yes.
Because they're working, you know, 70, 80 hours a week.
Right.
And they're getting taxed like crazy. So it's so important for, you know, me and my family, especially for the overtime as well.
Yeah. So they're not taxed on that overtime, which is great. I'm glad that you brought that up. So thank you for that. And, you know, there are trade-offs. So like I said, these are all real positive points that should reduce a lot of our taxes out there. I mean, really, a lot of people should feel some tax relief. But there have been some trade-offs for those tax breaks with Medicaid. So there is stricter eligibility for Medicaid, and states must verify eligibility now every 6 months instead of annually. This increases the risk of losing coverage for people due to missing address updates, things like that. And then for the lower income, the states can now charge up to $35 per visit to a doctor for some Medicaid patients. Probably the biggest thing is that it's definitely going to slash about $1 trillion over a 10-year period. And so states could lose key financial tools, forcing them to either raise or cut services. So there is a bit of a trade-off for that that I want to bring up.
Yeah, I mean, so overall, it sounds like the tax bill will help a lot of, you know, working high-income earners, but also greatly affects some of the low income or people that depend heavily on Medicaid for their health coverage.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I think about my grandmother, I'll just bring this up real quick. My grandmother had enough to pay for her nursing home care up until the last year, and then Medicaid had to cover, and she had Alzheimer's disease. I think I've talked about that on the show before. But I remember going to the Alzheimer's unit and seeing so many people and talking to the administrator that, you know, once they put their grandparent or parent into a nursing home and they have Alzheimer's, sometimes they're like, oh, well, forget it. You know, they don't know who I am anyway, so why come and visit and that sort of thing. I mean, you do see that where, you know, older people, especially with Alzheimer's, don't get a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
And so the administrator, you know, shared some of that with me. And so, you know, now they do have to fill out quite a bit of extra paperwork to continue to get Medicaid. So instead of like once a year, like we talked about, it's going to be twice a year. And I'm sure that's doable. People should be staying on top of that. But I do worry about, you know, the people that, let's say, have Alzheimer's disease, like my grandma, if the kids aren't really keeping up with that paperwork and doing it twice a year. I mean, some nursing homes are nice and I'll really try to keep them there somehow. But a lot of the nursing homes, I mean, if they're not covered with Medicaid, they can't really stay there. So then you go, well, where are these people going to live? You know, so that is a concern, just that, you know, that especially the older folks in nursing homes, depending on Medicaid, just the different eligibility requirements and just the fact that they have to fill out more paperwork. You know, it is a trade-off because it could mean that more of them get off Medicaid if their kids aren't really keeping up with them in the nursing home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, we will probably soon see the effects of some of this stuff. And, you know, Jenna, we covered a lot today and I know there's so much included in this bill that we can't even possibly fit it into one episode.
Right.
So, I mean, can you kind of summarize for our listeners the main changes or things that are included in this big, beautiful tax bill?
Yes. Well, the big, beautiful tax bill does have some beautifulness to it. The biggest beautiful thing about it, I think, is that the income taxes, most people will have similar income taxes as they have had, which were set to go up if this bill didn't change that, or even be paying less in income taxes. So I think that is huge. For all my seniors, my wonderful clients that are in retirement, I'm so happy that a lot of them will be able to take advantage of the $6,000 senior credit as long as they're under $75,000 single or $150,000 joint in income. Again, your Social Security taxes likely will be similar. The deduction of $6,000, though, could definitely help even in that area as well. So it just depends on the situation. There's higher gift and estate tax exclusions for those that are leaving a big legacy for their families. You may qualify for the SALT deduction, the higher SALT deduction. And obviously you want to check out the child savings account and possibly set that up for your grandchildren or analyze, you know, what would be the best investment strategy to do that. And then we did mention just some of the changes to Medicaid as well. Really, as you can see, there's a lot in this bill that is there really will affect people for retirement. And so it really is important that you work with a financial advisor that is staying on top of and sharing all these changes with you, because they are going to impact your retirement plan greatly.
Yeah, I mean, Jenna, we covered so much today, and there's so much to know about these new tax rules. So I appreciate you laying this out. And it's easy to get overwhelmed and confused by all of this. I mean, I am as well. And so I'm sure these listeners are too. Yeah. And like you said, just to repeat it, it is so important that people work with a financial advisor to stay on top of all of these new tax law updates and everything that's changing so fast. I mean, how would people get a hold of you, Jenna, if they wanted to set up a no-cost, no-obligation consultation for them to get that second opinion for their retirement plan?
Yeah. Well, we would love to chat with you about that. And if you have questions even about the big, beautiful tax bill and how it will affect you, we'd be happy to talk about that as well. Our phone number to set up that consultation is 1-800-994-8993. Again, that's 1-800-994-8993. Or you can go out to our website at beaconwealthadvisory.com and request a consultation that way as well. But yeah, there is a lot to know with this big, beautiful tax bill.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jenna, for laying it all out for the listeners. Yeah. And, you know, you seem so knowledgeable in this. And so listeners, aww, you know, reach out to Jenna, get that second opinion, find a financial advisor who can help navigate these difficult times and these nice, you know, huge changes. And Jenna, is there anything else you want to add before we close out?
No, I'm looking forward to talking with everybody. And it's good that we're staying on the cutting edge here of what's going on in the news. And now you know what's fact and what's fiction.
Absolutely. Well, that does it for today's episode of Retirement Today with our host, Jenna Carnes.
Thanks for tuning in to Retirement Today. A well-planned retirement goes beyond savings. It's about having a strategy for both income and taxes. To learn more, reach out to Jenna Carnes at Beacon Wealth Advisory by calling 800-994-8993 or visiting beaconwealthadvisory.com. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of Retirement Today.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Beacon Wealth Advisory, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Beacon Wealth Services. Beacon Wealth Advisory and Beacon Wealth Services are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.